My name is Gabriel Torok. I'm president of Preemptive Solutions. We are a code security and protection company. We have tools focused on protecting and improving .NET applications.
Okay, so why does a .NET application need to be improved? What is it that you're providing that takes it beyond what is currently there?
Okay, so there's really a couple aspects here. The first aspect is that .NET applications with freely available tools can be completely reverse engineered. And what I mean by that is if you give somebody your executable, you're essentially giving them your source code because of these freely available tools that can extract the source code from the executable. Now this could be have potential problems in a lot of ways. The other thing that we do is we actually make your code smaller and more efficient. We have a technique called pruning. Is one of them, and basically what we do is we look at your application, we do a complete method dependency analysis, we figure out exactly what methods and what classes are needed, and we can package only those. So as a result, especially if you're using things like third-party libraries, we can make your application a whole lot smaller and more efficient.
Okay, so you talked about security and basically stopping somebody from reverse engineering your application. What is the process there? What are you actually doing to the binary to make that happen?
Okay, so there's a number of things we're doing to the binary. One of the first things we're doing, again, we don't need the source code. We only process the executable, the MSIL. And one of the steps that we do is we try to rename as many methods as we can to a single character such as A. And we have this transform we call overload induction, where we can actually look at an application and rename, say, 30% of all methods to A and all fields to A. And then what we'll do is we'll start in with B and C and so on. Once you've done this, not only have you saved space and made your application more efficient, but when somebody reverse engineers it, it's very difficult to discern what's going on.
Right.
So that's one step. Another step that we do is we encrypt the strings. So, for example, if you have a string in there that says, please enter license key or something like that, or SQL statements or anything like that, pretty much any string in your application we can encrypt so that if somebody reverse engineers it and looks for particular strings, they won't find them in the application. Another thing we do is modify the control flow in such a way that it's still perfectly legal MSIL and it still runs the same, but it confuses the decompilers because essentially it's not plain vanilla IL. It's essentially, it gets confused and introduces go-tos and things like that. So those are just some of the transforms that we do to try to make your application more difficult to reverse engineer.
Okay, so by modifying the IL, by putting in go-tos and in effect confusing the decompilers, doesn't that also potentially add a layer of possibility of code error into the application?
It's a good thing you asked. Because Preemptive is in the box, we have extensive regression testing with not only with Microsoft but with ourselves. We're very, very careful not to introduce anything, and we believe that the chances of that are fairly minimal. To date, we've never seen a problem like that. The most of the times that you end up with errors is when it's improperly configured.
Okay. So what about the performance of an application? If you're writing an application that needs good performance, mm-hmm. Putting in go-tos and requiring all strings to be decrypted on the fly,
right.
Does that performance it on the application?
That's an excellent question. So the performance impact of those things is very minimal. Our encryption transform is very quick because obviously, that's a concern. We actually started off as an optimization company, so we're very, very concerned about the performance of an application. You will see, less than 1% performance hit. It will be, we'd be even surprised if you noticed it. That's how insignificant it is.
Okay. So once an application has been converted into this modified IL format, is there any way that somebody can get that back into source, or are they at that point completely stuck?
Yeah, there really is no way. There's a way that they can get it back into source, although some of our transforms tend to screw up the decompilers, so they may not get source that's correct. And some of the things we introduce are legal IL, but they may not be legal C# code. Okay, so for example, if you induce overloading on a scale where you have made it impossible for the compiler to distinguish on the return type, it's still perfectly legal IL, but it may not be legal C#. So there's that step. The other thing is, even if you can decompile it, it looks like spaghetti code. It's very, very difficult to figure out. You know, even native code was decompilable. I mean, you could take native, you know, code that was compiled down to the Intel machine and decompile it, reverse engineer it. It was just very, very difficult to understand. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to move the bar back to that level where it's, again, a very difficult to understand for hackers and for people trying to reverse engineer your applications.
Okay. And what is the name of this product? What is the name of the tool?
So the tool is called Dotfuscator, and there's actually a light version of Dotfuscator that ships inside every copy of Visual Studio 2003 and coming up in 2005. So you'll find it right off of the tools menu. You can click on tools and Dotfuscator.
So what's the difference between the light version and the full version?
The light version essentially just does the renaming part that I told you about. The full version does the control flow obfuscation, the string encryption. It does incremental obfuscation so you can release patches. It generates PDB debugging files. It has a tool for stack trace translations. It does pruning where it actually makes your application smaller, and that's something that people, particularly working on the .NET Compact framework, are very concerned about.
What kind of size difference would I expect to find after I've pruned an executable?
So the numbers vary greatly. You could probably think of it as the larger your application is, the more likely it is you're going to have a greater percentage of pruning. Also, depending on the amount of third-party libraries you use or the amount of external APIs you use, we can extract only the pieces you need from that. So I would say on average you're probably looking at about 20%, maybe 30%.
Okay. All right, so is there anything else you want to tell us about the tool before we get to see a demo?
So I think the only thing I want to tell you is that, you know, it's a straightforward and simple process, and not everybody necessarily needs to protect their code against reverse engineering. But basically, the model that I follow is if you don't give people the source code the same time you're giving them the executable, then you probably want to apply this layer of protection because essentially you are, unless you do. If you don't care about that, then you don't need the tool. But if you do care about it, you know, it's a very simple process, and you probably want to take a few minutes and apply it.
Okay, very good. So should we take a look at the demo?
Yeah.
So now what we'd like to do is take a look at a demo of Dotfuscator Professional Edition inside Visual Studio 2003. The first thing I want to point out is that we have a project open that's a C# project, and then essentially what I've done is I've gone ahead and I've created a Dotfuscator project, and the way I do that is by going File, New, Project, and then you can select a Dotfuscator project, and I've already gone ahead and done that. So you can see here's our Dotfuscator project. And then what I've done is I've taken the output of the Vex.net project and I've brought that in as an input to the Dotfuscated Vex project so that when you build the Dotfuscated Vex project, if there's been any changes to the C# project, it will automatically build that. If you had a build environment, you could then take the output of the Dotfuscated project and put it into something like InstallShield or Wise. So going ahead here, basically I've got many different options that I can configure. There's already some default ones applied, but how I want to specify renaming, what I'd like to be able to rename to lower alpha or unprintable characters. I can specify what level of control flow I'd like to use, and this will give you an indication as to how much it will introduce these go-tos to sort of try to mess with the decompilers. Again, the performance hit is pretty negligible. You can also specify string encryption to use, and we'll have that turned on as well. And then you can specify to go ahead and remove any methods or fields that are not used. And this, again, is a very good feature for trying to make your applications as trim as possible. So what we'll do is we'll go ahead and do a build on this, and you'll see here that it goes ahead and runs Dotfuscator, and it'll create a project with a Dotfuscated output executable that is smaller, more efficient, and much more difficult to reverse engineer. And even if you can reverse engineer it, it becomes very difficult for a human to understand it.
So does this get built to its own private folder? Does my, if I just want to build and test the application as a debug build, does that still get built to its original folder and the encrypted, in effect, executable gets put somewhere else?
That's exactly correct. So what you'd have is you'd have your vex.net application being built to a specific directory, and then the Dofuscator one put in a different directory that you specify.
Okay.
Okay? That was a really good question. So what I'd like to look at next is the output. And you can see here, if I click on the output, that what we've essentially done is we've gone ahead, and I could scroll up and down here, but you can see how many things are renamed to A. Just looking through an application, you can see that quite a lot of methods are renamed to A, some are renamed to B and C and so on. Also, it shows you what was removed. So in this particular application, those variables were not used at all, so they were removed. Any fields and variables that aren't used can be pruned out. And again, this is all completely configurable. Also, these generate output files. One of the things that gets generated is a map file. And this map file essentially creates the mapping that was done. This is something you're going to want to save in a version control tool for later, because we've got a feature called incremental obfuscation, where if you want to release a patch, it will keep the naming scheme exactly the same and just add to it. So it becomes a real easy way for you to release a patch of your application without renaming the whole thing. So that's the map file. Also, we generate, and we have the option to generate other types of reports and files. We can generate a removal report that will go ahead and show you, okay, you know, this particular application doesn't have a lot that was pruned out. Typically, you'll see larger numbers. But you can see here we pruned out about 5% of all the methods and about, I think, 9% of the types. And you can scroll up here to get a complete pruning report. It'll show you exactly what methods and fields were removed. So this is useful information just from a standpoint of looking at your application to see, you know, what's being used. A lot of people like this pruning report just to kind of self-assess that, oh, yeah, I didn't really use that field.
And potentially go back and rework the source code.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So in some cases, you're writing reusable components, so you necessarily build them with extra stuff, and you know you're not going to use them, but you may not want them packaged, especially if you're, you know, going for something like a Windows CE application where you want to make the application as fit and trim as possible. So the next thing I'd like to show you is, you know, what does this mean? What did we really accomplish? And what I'd like to do is go to a program called .NET Reflector. And this is a free application that you can find on the Internet. Just go to Google and do a search for .NET Reflector. You can download it and essentially reverse engineer any .NET application.
So, unless your tools have been run on it.
Exactly. So let's take a look at the application before it's been obfuscated. You can see here that the names are all very meaningful. I've got a form main, and underneath that I have a BTN, a button click for the next level. And you can see here this is pretty much verbatim the code that you would find in Visual Studio. Now, you know, to somebody who wants to see the string, you know, this is the highest level you've reached, or maybe this is a string that's even more important. Maybe this is where you're asking somebody to enter in a license key. If a hacker wants to bypass that, the first thing they'll do is do a search for please enter license key. They'll make a jump around that instruction or delete it, recompile it, and then they have your application without the license key check. Other things they might look for are SQL statements and things like that. So one of the things we do is we encrypt the strings. The other thing we'll do, you know, we do the renaming that we talked about. We also do control flow obfuscation. And let me show you what this method looks like after it's been obfuscated. So here's the same method. I happen to know that it's called method M because I went and looked at the map file and figured that out. But otherwise, really, I would have no idea what this method is doing. It's called M. All of the variables in there are cryptic. The strings are encrypted. If you notice here, there's a whole bunch of labels and go-tos that have been inserted in this code. It becomes something that's very, very difficult to figure out what's going on. So again, it's much, much more difficult for somebody to figure out, okay, this is what I need to do, now I'll make this change. The other thing that we're doing in the new version is we're actually introducing code that does not allow it to be recompiled. So what you have is you have constructs in there that you can reverse engineer it, make a change, and try to recompile it, and you can't. So again, it becomes a lot more work to try to figure out what to do to sort of circumvent license checks or look at SQL statements or do, you know, the nasty things that people want to do.
Okay, so that's the current product. So what's coming?
So what's coming is for the Pro version, we're going to have all kinds of new features coming out with WIDBI. Actually, probably a little before WIDBI ships, we'll have this out. But basically, we're adding assembly linking, which will allow you to take a bunch of DLLs in an EXE and package them all into one EXE and prune everything out. So again, the size reduction is really important. We're adding complete support for generics coming in WIDBI. We're adding a feature called watermarking, which actually allows you to take and put a fingerprint in your application so that you can track who you've given that application to. So you could put the serial number of that particular person or a company in the application itself and then be able to track later on where it shows up. We're adding full support for MS Build, so it can be all part of the integrated build process, and that will be very, very slick. We're adding some new features to actually make it even more difficult to reverse engineer applications than they currently are today. So there's a lot of new exciting stuff coming.
Okay, and if I want to find out more about this product, which website do I need to go to?
You would go to www.preemptive.com, and that's spelled PreemptiveE.com.
Okay, very good. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.